In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation and Happy New Year. That's right, Happy New Year, because we enter into the holy season of Advent today. So, Happy New Year to all of you. So, as always, we like to begin our conversation with inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. Now, Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. That's right. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. And we cry out to Mary also in the Hail, Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to her and pray the prayer that she loves most. That is the Hail Mary. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. He's also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also our sanctifier. Our sanctifier. So let's also turn to him who's our interior master and beg the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us. To give us a lot of light in our intellect as well as a lot of fire to burn within our hearts. As we say this classical prayer to the Holy Spirit, and that prayer is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Catherine Laboure, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all of you. Maybe you're shocked that I say Happy New Year, and it's not January 1st, but there are two Happy New Years. There's the civil New Year that begins on January 1st, but then also there is the Happy New Year where we start into the season of Advent. So, Happy New Year. So in this season of Advent, which is the time of preparation for Christmas, Happy New Year to all of you. I promise to pray for you in the Mass that I'll be celebrating today. And that Mass will be at 12 noon. At 12 noon, which we enter into this holy season of Advent, I'd like to pray for you and your intentions. First, I'd like to mention will be, I'd like to pray that all of us, as we enter into this holy season, that we'd all be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. I pray open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. May this be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. May that be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that we would all work. We'd all work energetically on trying to get to know our faith better. Perhaps during this season of Advent, we try to spend more time studying our Catholic faith to enrich our own lives, but also so that we can be sources of catechesis to others. Never have we lived in a world with so much information, but never have we lived in a world with so much confusion. That's right, never have we lived in a world with so much information, but never have we lived in a world with so much confusion as we have today. So let's try to get to know our faith better. And one of the purposes of our talk is to get to know our Catholic faith better. My third intention, will be to pray with you for the conversion of sinners, especially to pray for the conversion of sinners and the conversion of deathbed sinners. The conversion of sinners and especially the conversion of deathbed sinners. There are many who will die today, and perhaps many of them don't know that, and many of them are not prepared for this. And that's actually the gospel for today. That Jesus is exhorting us to be prepared, to be vigilant, to have our eyes open, to not be drowsy, to not be overcome by gluttony and drinking and drowsiness. We're called to vigilance. Let's pray that we would not be caught off guard when the Lord calls us from this life to the next, but constantly preparing ourselves for the day in which the Lord will knock at the doors of our hearts and ask us to come and sit before him to be judged. So those are intentions. Once again, I'd like to invite all of you to come to my course on the book that I've written. This is a compendium of Marian devotions with yours truly. You're seeing the cover of Saint Dominic and with the Blessed Mother and the Child Jesus here. The compendium of Marian devotions. This is my last book. So what I'm doing is I'm giving a 5-week course on my book. So last Sunday was the first class lecture, inviting all of you to purchase this book of mine, maybe buy two as a Christmas present. And what we're doing is we're meeting in the old church building at 1:30. You're invited to come, even though maybe you missed the first session. Try to purchase your book at the door. We've got a stock of new books, not too many. First come, first serve. And the dynamic of our Marian course is pretty simple. If you like, you can come to the 12 noon Mass. Then after Mass, saunter over to the old church building. And I'll give a talk on some dimension of Marian devotion, something related to the book. Yesterday, explained the whole origin of myself as a writer and how this book came about. The obstacles that I encountered and eventually its publication. I really believe it's a very beautiful book that people are admiring very much. Then after the talk, for a short time, we'll break up into groups and talk about Mary. Last week we had the question, who is Mary for you and what do you expect to get from this course? Those are the two questions. Who is Mary for you? What do you expect to get from this course? Who is Mary for you and what do you expect to get from this course? Who is Mary for you? What do you expect to get from this course? And then the very heart of this course is we have 32 chapters, so I'm inviting all to read a chapter a day, to read and to meditate upon it. Another thing I suggested last week was in the evening, maybe before your evening meal, one of the family members can read one of the chapters. Chapters are not long. And then at your meal time, you could talk about that. Wouldn't this be a very helpful and useful way to live out Advent? That you're reading something related to God, to Mary. Then you sit down at the meal table and you're all sharing what idea, concept, word, story seemed to captivate you most. I think if this is done during these next 4 weeks, because Christmas is exactly 4 weeks, then Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, will celebrate with immense joy. So once again, I invite you to come to my Marian Compendium course. Here we have the Compendium of Marian Devotions by yours truly. And we invite you to come. The course is free of charge, but the book is not. Okay, so can't get everything, huh? Can't get everything. Book is free of charge, the book is not. We're selling the book for $60. And some of that money for the book is sent to Boston for the oblate seminarians, your future priests. So you want to support your future oblate priests. that they become holy Marian priests, as we're called to be because we're oblates of the Virgin Mary. Okay, so what I'd like to do, I'd like to just explain briefly the season of Advent, and then I'd like to go into the readings, of which, of course, are very rich. And every time we enter into Sunday, it's a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Sunday is a day of great joy. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate his resurrection. So, what I'd like to do then is just give you a brief overview of what Advent is about. And then I'd like to get into the readings. So let's start with Advent, the word Advent. It comes from the Latin word advenire. In Spanish, avenir, in Italian, venire. And it means coming. So we are awaiting the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After many years in which the prophets were announcing the coming of Christ, every year announcing the coming of Christ, finally, 2,000 years ago, Christ came. Christ came. Finally came, born of the Virgin Mary. So that's, we're preparing for the coming of Christ. Now we talk about the coming of Christ. The theologians speak about two comings of Christ. Some even speak about three comings of Christ. And they would be, the first would be the coming in the incarnation. The coming in the incarnation, in which Christ was born. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. So that would be the first coming. The second coming of Christ will be at the end of time. We know neither the day nor the hour. That depends upon the Father himself. But the third coming of Christ, and there is a very well-known writer on the liturgy about 75 years ago, his name is Pius Parsh, who wrote a lot of books for the liturgical year on the coming of Christ within our lives through grace. So those would be the three comings. The incarnation, which is Christ was born of the Virgin Mary in the stable of Bethlehem. The second coming at the end of time. And the third is the coming of Christ right now by means of grace. When we pray, God comes to us. Receive the Eucharist, God comes to us. When we serve others and the poor, God comes to us. So the different types of comings of Christ. And I'd have to say also, it's very important we be prepared for the day in which the Lord calls us from this life to the next. Through our passage from this life to the next in death. In death. Passage from this life to the next in death. In death. So that's the word Advent. Next thing I'd like to say would be the color that we have for Advent. Color we have for Advent is the same color that we have for Lent, and is the color of the stole that the priest wears when he's hearing confessions. The color is purple. Purple is a color that points to that of penance related to conversion. We're always called to conversion. We're always called to a penitential lifestyle. Lent is the strong time of conversion. But also Advent is a time which we're wearing the purple to recall, to call to mind the fact that we're called to be converted to Christ. To be converted to Christ. All right, so there's the liturgical color. You will see, however, in the third Sunday of Advent, you'll see the priest that can come out in pink. There are only two days during the course of the church year which the priest, 2 days, can come out in pink. That would be the fourth Sunday of Lent and the third Sunday of Advent. And the pink is a color which represents joy. In Lent, the fact that Jesus will die and rise from the dead, that is a source of joy. Whereas in Advent, that color, pink, points to the joy that comes about as a result of the upcoming birth of Christ. So two different reasons for joy. The incarnation and the paschal mystery. The birth of Christ, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. Those are two reasons why we should indeed rejoice. Rejoice, of course, in the Lord. All right. Also, the time duration of Advent, that you're aware of it. This Advent, I think that this is the Advent in which the Advent would be the longest possible. Advent, because Christmas falls on Sunday. Christmas falls on Sunday, so this is going to be a full 28 days. It could be as short as 22 days. So in Advent, there's always going to be four Sundays. But Advent can be a little bit shorter or longer depending on when it starts. So we start on Sunday, and then four Sundays from today, we celebrate Christmas. And Christmas Eve, of course, will be that Saturday before. The Saturday before. So that's the duration. And finally, somewhat related to my course on the Marian Compendium, is that there are a couple of Marian feast days in Advent. Mary can indeed prepare us for the birthday of Christ. She's the virgin in waiting, as Paul VI says in his apostolic letter, Marialis Cultus, which was published in 1974. Marialis Cultus is Mary present in liturgical year. So the key Marian feast days would be that of the Immaculate Conception, that's right, of the Immaculate Conception, as well as The Immaculate Conception, just by the way, is Mary is the patroness of the United States, as well as the Philippines. So we want to renew our love, our devotion, our consecration to Mary, especially on December 8th, which is coming up quickly. Not a bad idea to make a Naveen in preparation for the Immaculate Conception. St. Faustina would make a Naveen by praying 1,000 Hail Marys every day for 9 days. You imagine that? 1,000 Hail Marys. A 1,000 Hail Marys. Every day. Every day for 9 days. Then the other Marian feast day, and this is very key, especially for the Mexicans, and they have our this portrait in my studio here. You can see it. It's Our Lady of Guadalupe. That, of course, we celebrate the 12th. That we could celebrate the 12th of December. The 12th of December is the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. She's the patroness of Mexico, but also John Paul II proclaimed Our Lady Guadalupe to be the patroness. The patroness of the Americas. And also, I'll be talking about this a little bit later, but the Advent wreath. In future talks, I'll give you the symbolism of the Advent wreath that is placed on the altar. That's one of the key Advent symbols for Advent. And all of you should try to get an Advent wreath for your homes. That's right. You'll try to get an Advent wreath for your homes. An Advent wreath for your homes. And also in the Mass there will not be a Gloria. And eventually you'll see the manger scene there, placed there close to the altar, which like with Mary we're awaiting the coming of Christ. Okay, so what I'd like to do today, then, of course, I'd like to go into the readings for the day after I've given you kind of an orientation for what Advent is. So the readings we have for today would be, we're going to be reading through Isaiah. And wouldn't it be a bad idea to even read, for a spiritual reading, read the 60-plus chapters of the prophet Isaiah. Of the prophet Isaiah. So we have Isaiah chapter 2, first 5 verses. In the Liturgy of the Hours, we have Isaiah chapter 1. Then we have Psalm 122. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Advent is a time, is a season of great joy. Second reading we have is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, 11 through 14, in which the apostle says, our salvation is near at hand. Very interesting that this second reading was a reading that eventually led to the conversion of St. Augustine there in the garden in Milan. This reading was finally able to break through his resistance and he was ready to give himself to Christ, to renounce his sinful past life and to put on the new man, Christ Jesus. And then the Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 44. And Jesus encourages us to stay awake and to be prepared. And our Lord gives us the example of the time of Noah, in which people were eating and drinking and marrying and buying. And then the deluge descended upon them, and they were not prepared. So there we have, my friends, in a nutshell, the three readings for today. Isaiah, Romans, and the Gospel of Matthew. So I'd like to pull out an idea from each of these readings. What I like to do is like to summarize it, then give an interpretation, and then an application. That's my style of teaching. Summary, interpretation, application. Summary of the Word of God, interpretation, and application. Now, the book of the prophet Isaiah, I'd like to just pull out one idea. He says, in these days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. Let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob. Okay. Isaiah gives us the whole idea of a mountain, climbing the mountain, and the highest mountain. When I was meditating upon this morning, this idea occurred to me. In the season of Advent, we celebrate a great saint 2 days after Our Lady Guadalupe. And the name of that saint is Saint John of the Cross. Saint John of the Cross is known as the mystical doctor of the church, who was the spiritual director of Teresa of Avila. He was instrumental in the reform of the Carmelite order. Saint John of the Cross is considered by many one of the greatest Spanish writers. Saint John of the Cross wrote these works: The Dark Night of the Soul, and he wrote The Spiritual Canticle, which is a commentary on the Song of Songs. He wrote letters also. But also he wrote a book related to this chapter 2 of Isaiah. It's called The Ascent of Mount Carmel. That's right. It's called The Ascent of Mount Carmel. And what John the Cross does is he